Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 31st of August, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Kelly. What's happening?
Quite a bit, apparently. If you are an Apple follower, so I'm glad you're here because we have a bunch of news to talk about. And the first is a forcing of the hand, I guess, for lack of a better term. This was something that we had on the site yesterday. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, of course. Go ahead and take us through this soon to be new South Korean law.
Yeah. So just as a bit of background, everybody probably already knows this, but if you buy an app or buy a subscription to an app or make an in-app purchase on either the Apple Store, the Apple App Store, or the Google Play Store, the way it currently works is Apple or Google handle the payment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they take their cut, which is usually 30%. Sometimes they'll give a discount, you know, let the developer, if they're new, pay a little bit less. Mm-hmm. South Korea, and this is something that, you know, worldwide, consumers and lawmakers have said, this is bad. We need to break this. They want to call it a monopoly. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
Well, South Korea, the ruling South Korean party, I believe last year, began talking about changing that. Mm-hmm. And last week, we found out that the bill that the South Korean president's party had been pushing, mm-hmm, finally came out of committee. It finally came out of committee. It was going to the floor for going to their National Assembly for a vote. Well, the National Assembly said, this is a great idea. They voted in favor of it. And now it's just waiting for the South Korean president's signature, which is, I mean, he was a big factor in pushing for this. So mm-hmm, it's pretty much a done deal. And
right,
so it's going to become law in South Korea that app stores such as Apple's, such as the Google Play Store, they will have to allow for other payment methods besides their own. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have your choice. You can either pay through Apple or Google, or if the developer, say they have a Square account, you might be directed to a Square payment site, mm-hmm, to pay for the app or pay for the subscription, rather than having to do that payment through the App Store itself.
Okay. And this is both Apple and Google,
right,
which I feel like is notable. They're not picking on one in particular. But also, at this point, it sounds like it's very likely going to be signed into law. But
yep,
that doesn't mean that it may not end up going to court, so that Apple and Google can try to go seek remediation through the courts to make this a thing that,
right,
doesn't have to happen. So this doesn't necessarily mean that it's a done deal, that this is going to happen, but it does mean that now that it is a law, this is a situation that both of them are going to have to contend with. And I think, mm-hmm, this may well turn into an enemy of my enemy kind of a situation, as a completely amateur viewer of legal proceedings in other countries, where they're going to team up and say, like, we want to take this to court and find out, like, how legal this actually is going to end up being, because we disagree that this is how it should,
right,
work.
They will almost certainly try to get an injunction against, mm-hmm, the law to at least stall it.
Right.
And they will almost certainly try to take it to South Korea's version of the Supreme Court, which I believe they actually call it the Supreme Court, but
okay,
in Korean.
Yeah.
And try to get it stricken down as mm-hmm. unconstitutional.
Okay. So
is that going to work? Yeah, I doubt it, but you know, I've been wrong before.
We'll see. And as right now, all we really have to tell you is that this is the thing that is most likely going to get signed into law, such as it is.
It's going to get signed into law, and here in the States, it's probably going to. Our president is going to have to respond to it somehow.
Yeah, something's
going to be a lot of pressure on him to say, you know, sorry, Apple, sorry, Google, I actually agree with this, or waffle and sidestep and try to find some way to make everybody happy.
Yeah, that's going to go well. We'll see, like, as this evolves, we will definitely keep you updated. But I just want to, just like we do on Security Friday and everything else, I want to make sure that we're putting the information out there. And the information is not that this is a done deal, but that it's definitely a stepping stone in forcing that conversation to actually happen in a legally binding fashion all over the place. Right. Not just here, not just South Korea, but like everywhere. So we'll see how that goes. Before we move to our next topic, I'd like to take a minute to talk to you about our sponsor today. It's SimpliSafe. Now, SimpliSafe's founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, designed their first security system in their kitchen after friends had their home broken into. They were trying to make a system that was simple to set up and use, and they've now been doing that for more than 15 years. If you've ever tried to get or set up a security system, and I have, I can tell you, it gets complicated, overwhelming, and expensive really fast. SimpliSafe has a passion for protection that shows in all of their products. Trained experts are ready to take your call, whether it's setting up the system or getting things running how you want them, or if it's an actual emergency. Now, my listeners can save 20% on a SimpliSafe system and get the first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. Just go to simplisafe.com/TDO. Customize the system to protect your home and family. It only takes a couple of minutes. I've tried it. That's simplisafe.com/TDO, SimpliSafe.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank SimpliSafe for sponsoring the show today. We also have some other interesting news that Jeff, you've written about and that I want to talk about because I find this a really interesting idea, and that is something that is potentially coming to new iterations of iPhones. Now, maybe not the 13, but something coming down the pike.
Right. So we found out yesterday through an investor note that there is a possibility of the iPhone 13 or another future iPhone, but the analyst specifically said the iPhone 13, mm-hmm. being able to send text messages and possibly phone calls using connections to low Earth orbit satellites instead of your cellular coverage.
Okay.
And this...
Now, you say an analyst, so let's go ahead and name the analyst in question.
That would be Ming.
Yes. Ming-Chi Kuo.
I always forget his full name. That's the one. Ming-Chi Kuo. He announced that the iPhone 13 will have a customized Qualcomm X60 modem.
Okay.
This is the chip that actually allows your phone's radios to function.
Okay.
It is a 5G. In this case, it provides the 5G coverage, and the customized version will supposedly also allow for communication with the low Earth orbit satellites.
Okay.
Now, at first, we all thought, oh, this means that if you don't have cell phone coverage, you can still text and call your friends using satellites. The story's evolved since then. Mark Gurman from Bloomberg has been talking to, well, first of all, Gurman has noted for a couple of years now that Apple had a team that was working on satellite communications.
Okay.
Through the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And what Gurman has learned is that what it's actually going to be focused on is emergency communications. So being able to get the word out, you know, being able to let someone know that you're in trouble or someone else is in trouble mm-hmm. when you can't connect to the cell towers.
Regardless of where you are, in essence.
Regardless of where you are. Yeah. It won't matter if you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert or the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean. The satellites can see you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your phone can, should be able to communicate with the satellites, send out an emergency message to first responders, possibly even your emergency contacts that you have set up in your medical ID, but that's still kind of sketchy.
Okay.
What we do know, or what we do suspect, is that the first feature will allow you to send out an emergency SOS text message. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a short message, just says, I need help.
Yeah, sort of regardless of coverage is the point of making this one, this one working this way. Okay.
Yeah, it'll work, you know, mountains, remote lakes, you know, where you don't have 4G or 5G coverage. Mm-hmm. And it lets you report a crisis. It'll ask what kind of emergency you're experiencing, whether it's a car, boat, plane, or fire. It might ask for more specific information, like if someone has just fallen overboard or a ship is sinking, mm-hmm. whether or not search and rescue services are needed, so on and so forth.
Okay, yeah. How bad is it? What kind of help do you need? This sort of thing. So
right,
yeah.
And
okay.
It will also send your location. You know, your phone is also a GPS. It it can pick up on where you're at. It'll send your geographic location, so people can.
So you can be found for assistance if that's the case. Right. If it turns into a yes, please send a person to help with the thing that I'm reporting. Whatever.
Right. It's the type of features that are already in other devices that are primarily for that purpose, like Garmin's inReach device. Mm-hmm. But it adds that to your phone so that you only need the one device and not multiple.
Yeah, which is very handy. We've done some research on these sorts of things at my house. Mr. Kelly mm-hmm. enjoys a hike from time to time. And being in sort of aggressively remote places is part of the appeal of that for him. So, he doesn't really mind if he's outside cellular coverage and probably in fact prefers it because, you know, if there's less cellular service, there are also less people in those sorts of places.
He's not gonna get bugged.
And so, yeah, which is kind of his jam. So we've looked at devices like this, like the Garmin inReach was a thing that we looked at one point. And there are subscription features that go along with that. And as a device goes, like if you're looking to keep your gear kind of light, those are pretty big and pretty heavy a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Not all of them run on some of them are a recharge situation, like you need a USB cable to recharge it and not just swap out some batteries, you know, depending.
Right.
And that can be good or bad depending on your situation. So sometimes these are good decisions, sometimes they're not, you know, depends on a bunch of stuff. But we have looked at these, so I have some experience with like a tiny bit of experience with what these sorts of devices are like. And if you have places that will rent outdoor gear and things like that, they will generally have an option for one of these sorts of locators, particularly if you mm-hmm. live someplace like I do, where you have a mountain that occasionally swallows a hiker or a skier whole. You want to, you know, or somebody needs help in some particular situation, then these are things that they definitely encourage people to take with them on their trips, so that if something just exactly like you're describing, if something were to happen, you can get assistance. And the biggest piece of getting that assistance is the ability for the people helping you to locate you so that right. you could be found in a timely fashion, regardless of what the situation is. Like if there's an emergency, you know, being able, having somebody be able to reach you is pretty important, obviously. So this is more that kind of, thing, an emergency
or on a mountain.
Yeah. An emergency communication sort of thing. Not, I can still watch TikTok even if I'm in a place without cellular service. And that's kind of what I want to make sure we're distinguishing here. Like this is more of a, like when you started being able to reliably dial 911 from a cell phone, this is more that kind of thing, feature to add to a phone than we're just going to continue to expand service. So like right now in the Southeast, there are a lot of people who would appreciate a feature like this. And there are apps occasionally that I see that say that they can be used during a disaster because they're using, different radio communication, or like, you know, it's only sending a text that's a particularly, you can only send a text, not anything else. So you can use like lower speed bandwidth and things like that. So that if you need to be coordinating assistance between a number of people, or you're trying to get a hold of a first responder or get a hold of somebody who is trying to reach a first responder, that kind of stuff, that people can get the help that they need. Even if the cell towers themselves maybe aren't the most reliable, like you don't need, you know, even 3G, if all you're trying to do is send a text message that says, you know, I'm here on the roof, you know, or whatever. So this is more of a urgent and an emergency kind of situation sort of a thing than it is. It would just be more convenient if my phone worked in more places kind of thing. So that's the part we want to talk about. And the other thing is, like you said, Gurman reported, we've talked that we've seen work on this for a while already. This isn't a new thing that Apple is suddenly deciding to work on. And
no, it's not. It's actually, they've had their team in place since at least 2017. Mm-hmm.
So
they brought over a couple executives from Google who were deep into satellite technology, and so they've built a team and they've been working on it for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that it's coming. But the other thing that it was sort of notable that I want to make sure gets out there, because I haven't seen this in a lot of stories about this yet, is it may not be the 13. Like Ming-Chi Kuo said, the iPhone 13 or whatever they're going to call the one that comes out, you know, imminently. Yeah. But Gurman's reporting something slightly different.
Right. Yeah. Gurman's saying he's saying it's at least a year down the road before the feature gets turned on.
Okay.
Which kind of leads me to think it's not going to be the 13, but you know, the 14. Yeah. And of course there's going to be regulatory things that have to get taken care of, you know.
Yeah, so it's coming to the iPhone, but it's not necessarily coming to the next iPhone, which sounds pretty likely, just since we haven't seen a lot of like FCC approval chatter or anything about something like we did when we saw a lot of information about, you know, 5G and approvals and things last year for the iPhone 12 when that came out, because it had new radios because it was connecting to different stuff. So,
yeah.
So,
you know, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Find out what Apple actually announces when it announces the next phone.
Yeah. Which hopefully will be any minute now. It's getting to be that time of year as we head into iPhone season. iPhone and then Halloween, you know, iPhone announced and then iPhone launch and then Halloween, and it's just all, you know, kind of a downward spiral from there. So
that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, you know.
Some of us consider Halloween to be the upside of the year.
Oh no, it's a huge favorite in my house, but it's just like it all becomes a spiral of like of coordinating family members and events and to-dos, or at least it used to, you know, in the olden days. Because
we could actually meet in person.
Yeah, because hot on the heels of Halloween is my birthday, or as I like to call it, Christmas in November. So because I'm one of those people that loves my birthday. I think it should be a big deal for everyone, including me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm pretty firmly in that camp. So,
And then after that, there's two Christmases.
Yes. Because one of them is your birthday. Yes.
Yep. And then the actual Christmas 11 days later.
Yes. And Mr. Kelly's birthday also happens right in that stretch. So that's why I mean, like, not necessarily a downward spiral, but it gets really hectic at my house about Halloween because we love Halloween. So there's a whole lot that has to happen with that first. And then, So I hope you all look forward to all the articles I'm going to write about the crazy crap you can do with smart enabled Christmas lights. So we'll get to that later.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
All right. Well, with that, as things progress, we will definitely keep you updated here, of course. Jeff, thanks so much for coming by.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And I appreciate that. And if you have any questions about this, if some of it sounds really confusing, if you just want to give us other feedback about the show, you can do so by getting us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. And let's be careful out there.